yeah, be able to pit them against each other and have them talk shit about each other. And, yeah, that sounds awesome. Or maybe even get them both to talk at the same time, like in a crossover interview. Like one's leaving the studio, quote, while the other one's walking in.
All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, this is the plumbest among us, the Rickest Rick and Morty podcast. My name is Brian, and with me, as always, is my friend Jeff. Jeff, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, Brian. Just dandy. Dandy fine.
I know. You like that? See, usually I just throw something ridiculous in there, but I just went with my friend because we're friends.
Exactly.
And it's nice doing Rick and Morty with you. Rick and Morty, let's see, I'll probably get this up tomorrow. So Rick and Morty Season 3 is actually going to start again tonight.
If this indeed goes up tomorrow, then yes. It'll be starting in just a few hours. So.
Yeah. So I'm excited, but somebody brought up the possibility that they might play 301 again, and that would just piss everybody off so bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, they played it last week, so I wouldn't see why they would do that, and all the previews this week that they're throwing out look like they're for a Pickle Rick episode. So we'll see.
So we
see how the importance of being a pickle becomes for Rick Sanchez.
Everybody is waiting with bated breath to find out what the deal is with Pickle Rick.
Yep.
Real quick before we get into it, you can find Jeff and I on the Nothing Important Podcast at nothingimportantpodcast.com or on iTunes. We've chatted with lots of good people in the past. We've had a couple month hiatus while all of us kind of had big changes in our lives, got our lives back together. And what better way to start the ball rolling again than with Season 3 of Rick and Morty. So please check out the Nothing Important Podcast, nothingimportantpodcast.com, where you will hear Jeff and our friend Dave and myself talk to people more famous than we will ever be. People like Rick Astley and Mark Summers from Double Dare and Mike Rowe and just a host of people who are so famous they shouldn't waste their time speaking to us, but we are glad that they do. Anyway.
Always, yes, always happy to be able to see what it's like on the other side.
Absolutely. Also, you can find us on It's All Good, Man, the Better Call Saul podcast. That's at itsallgoodman.com, iTunes, TV Time, anywhere you can find podcasts. It's our Better Call Saul show, done pretty well, been going for 3 seasons, and many interviews with the cast and crew, including the leads such as Patrick Fabian, Michael Mando, Ray Seahorn, and even the man himself, Bob Odenkirk, we still haven't managed to land John Banks yet.
Someday, once he figures out how to use a computer.
Yeah. once he's done yelling at kids in his neighborhood to get off his lawn, I'm sure he'll call us.
He's got to sort through his ball collection of things that came into his yard first.
Exactly. This is the Plumbus Among Us, brought to you by the TV Time app. Why don't you go ahead, get up your cell phone, download the TV Time app. You can talk, converse, make memes, post pictures, post video reactions, and just chat with other fans of your TV show and thousands of other TV shows. You can find just about any TV show on there. The TV Time app, make sure to download that on your smartphone. So, Jeff, I think a fun way to jump into episode 102 is to read the show description on Hulu. Have you ever read the show descriptions on Hulu?
I have not, because I do not subscribe to Hulu. So okay. No.
Perfect. Okay. they always give the impression that they were written last moment, because a lot of times they obviously vaguely tell what the episode is
about.
Right.
They don't want to give too much away.
Right. So this one is from Hulu description of Lawnmower Dog, which is episode 102 of Rick and Morty. Rick helps Jerry out with the dog, bro. Don't even trip about this episode because they also incept Goldenfold.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. So going forward, we're gonna start every episode when we talk about like a classic, I guess now a classic episode of Rick and Morty. We are gonna start with the description from Hulu because they are all. Awesome.
As a note, it is also the same description that is on IMDb for the episodes for people who don't subscribe to Hulu and still want to play along.
Oh, nice. So I guess then that would definitely just be the official, the official description of the show. Okay, way cool. Episode 102, Lawnmower Dog. We open in the living room, and Snuffle refuses to go outside, pisses on the floor.
Yes.
One thing, I love the way that Summer reacts in this, just to, like, really apathetic, like, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, she's disgusted, but she's not going to do anything about
right.
it.
Right, she's going to sit there on the couch and play with her, phone. I wanted to mention that this is the first appearance, the actual appearance of their dog, Snuffles, mentioned in 101, kind of offhandedly, that they have a dog. But this is the first time that we actually get to see the little white ruffian.
First and last time. Have there been any dogs since this episode?
Not that they've owned, that I can remember.
I wonder, I don't even remember seeing any. I'm sure it's possible that, because all the dogs supposedly leave at the end of this episode, right?
Yeah.
Or was that a dream?
No, that was, that's way ahead, Brian. You're getting way ahead into the script there. But
I am.
But yes, as far as the canon, I guess, of this episode goes, he takes at least all the dogs that are in the pound or a shelter that he's at, and it's presumably he does it all over the world, and teleports them to their own dimension that we can cover later on.
Gotcha. Morty takes kind of a more understanding towards Snuffles' side of it, because Jerry is pissed off, and then Rick enters to take Morty away, and Rick would just rather have Morty. Jerry wants Rick to basically make the dog smarter.
Yeah.
And says, hey, if you want to stay in our house, you have to contribute. Fair point by Jerry.
Yeah, that's fair. Or Morty's grounded and they can't go on space adventures or science adventures, which is kind of a lame dad tactic to use. That I'm going to take away your toys, where the toy in this just happens to be his son that he's using. It all in order to smarten up the idiot dog.
So Rick laments, but agrees to go with Jerry because Jerry's a big man. And creates the helmet.
Oh yeah,
It's pretty awesome how quickly he creates the dog's helmet in just a few sound effects. He has this amazing helmet for Snuffles.
Yeah, all I can presume is he's already got something mildly laid out already in the garage for a similar situation, and he just kind of modified it for the dog. Because I mean, that's a pretty custom helmet to have for a small head. On a dumb, quote, creature.
The attention to detail is nice. If you notice, before the scene cuts, you can see Snuffles licking his scar from his testicle removal.
Yep. Have to set that up.
What is that even called? Just neutering, right?
Yeah, if it's a male dog, which Snuffles is, because he lost his testicles, then it's being neutered. If it is a female dog that is made unreproductive, then it's a spay.
We cut to the garage. Rick is there with Morty and explains his Inception-esque plot to get Morty A's in Mr. Goldenfold's class. That way it'll free up Morty for all of their adventures. Again, with the small details, I love when they get into the spaceship, the door kind of sticks.
Yeah, because it is, as we first found out last episode, that it's just made of crap that he had around in his garage. So it's not perfect. As far as intergalactic spaceships go.
Yeah, and I guess it's a testament to how much Rick drinks, too, because you can hear beer bottles clanging all over the floor of it. So in just one night, he filled his spaceship with presumably beer bottles.
I don't presume that's one night. That's probably just the way he probably drives better. You know? He's one of those people after he's had a few. So
yeah, it helps you concentrate,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. It helps him really get to thinking. Yeah.
The key to drinking and driving, you know, you drive faster. That way you minimize your time on the
exactly.
road. Exactly. It's called safety.
Right. Safe are fun for everyone.
Mr. Goldenfold's watching. You don't know me. I'm assuming that's the name of the show. Is that the name of the show? You don't know
it's
me.
It's called The Days and Nights of Mrs. Pancakes. That is the name. That's the name of the show. So Mrs. Pancakes, we get her first tagline just kind of offhanded after whatever mail she's dealing with. You don't know me, gets sent up. I was just going to go back for a second and point out this is not the first time, obviously, but we can always already tell Rick's relationship with Morty is frustrating to him because Morty continues to question, well, why didn't you just spend more time with me teaching me math than coming up with Inception devices and plans and plots? And then Rick goes off on why homework is stupid. You should have less of it. The whole goal is to not have any of it. School is dumb. Get in the car. You're frustrating me. So we already have Rick a little bit pissed off to start the episode.
Right. Morty, he's the epitome of a useful idiot. Right?
Exactly.
We don't know it yet, but Rick needs him around. But he's so irritating and repugnant to Rick. He's like, you're frustrated.
Right, yes. So they sneak into Mr. Goldenfold's house, which that's the first time we also hear his name, even though he was introduced in the previous episode. We see him. He's lounging on the couch watching The Days and Nights of Mrs. Pancakes. As it seems like it must be a popular show because Rick shuts it off. Because he doesn't want to know what's going on, because he's a couple seasons behind.
And it has such an awesome name. Like, I love the ridiculous names work so well in this universe, but they're so stupid. Mrs. Pancakes, that's so great. Yeah. I always thought Pancakes would probably be the scariest name ever for a clown.
I know for a fact that there are clowns called Pancakes, because we actually have one here. And one of our, I think that was her name. One of our middle school teachers, that was her side job outside of teaching school, was like a birthday clown. I think that was her name. It was something like that. But yes, also scary as far as scary clowns go.
Yeah, what a creepy woman and scary clown name. Rick accepts Mr. Goldenfold, Morty, who collapses to the ground, and Rick being selfish and I guess apathetic towards just about everything, kind of makes himself nice and cozy in a beanbag chair.
Yeah, instead of falling just randomly on the ground because he's passed out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got to do it in style. They accept Mr. Goldenfold's dream. They threaten to 9/11 the airliner.
Yeah, they show up in the middle of an airplane, and Mrs. Pancakes is the stewardess, or flight attendant, I guess is the PC name for it. But she's definitely dressed like a stewardess. From the 70s and such. Go ahead.
And we find the rules of this world. If you die in a dream, you die in real life. I love that he brings up you avoid getting shot in life all the time, so just do that. That's and I thought about that, and I was like, well, they've only been one on one adventure, but...
That we know of. That we've seen.
I guess that's true. That we know, but I also took it as just like one of their classic... Like, play on words, because as we're sitting here right now, we're avoiding getting shot.
Yeah, and I'm, at least right now, doing a pretty good job at it, I think so. Anyway.
Right. Like, I'm batting 1,000 as far as not getting shot today goes.
Yeah, some days it's tougher than others, but yeah. Right now it's pretty decent. Rick tries to 9/11 the plane, straps a bunch of Coke bottles to himself, it looks like, to get that done, and then all of a sudden, because it's Mr. Goldenfold's dream, he becomes the hero of the dream and says that it's nice to wheat you, and uses what look like wheat crackers or wheat thins as ninja stars that are super deadly. Like, they're sticking into things. Those are sharp-ass crackers wheat or whatever. Yeah, whatever kind of snack food they are. They're sharp as hell.
I like how nothing could penetrate the middle of an airliner seat.
Yeah, right.
Bullets, wheat thins. It's the only protection they have. you'll see that when they're shooting, you know, pieces of the chair will fly off on the edge, but presumably that's only because it's on the edge, so naturally it's weaker.
Right.
Because no bullets come through the actual airliner seats.
I would gather that in Mr. Goldenfold's dream, all of the seats have huge plates of steel that just run through the back of them for support, you know, so right. For, you know, lumbar support or whatnot, to make sure it's comfortable.
And you don't want to be caught off guard.
Oh, no, of course not. Especially in a situation like that.
Right, because you could get stabbed in the back or somebody could try to 9/11 the plane. So.
Right. Yeah.
So the weird kid that they drag around can get A's.
Exactly. So cut back to the house.
Motorcycle.
Cut.
I was laughing at the motorcycle in the background.
Yeah, well, I'm outside on the porch, so you'll hear that every once in a while. It's a Saturday night. Anyway, cut back to the house, and Jerry and Summer are now having Snuffles do tricks. Now that he's more intelligent and can kind of understand what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like how Summer's trick is super lame and is just using Snuffles as a footrest.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry starts out with a classic dad move of getting slippers. You know, that's mm-hmm. a classic tropey almost what you want your dog to do, be able to fetch individual items for you.
All he would need then is like a smoking jacket and a pipe.
Exactly. And probably a whiskey, because it's, you know, it's a nightcap time or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He could have retired to his library.
Exactly.
and read one of his many tomes. Yep. Beth's completely unimpressed with the whole shit show.
Oh, yeah. Beth doesn't understand, or she understands what's going on. She doesn't get totally why this was necessary. But she's also mm-hmm. on the same page as Rick and figures out that, yeah, this will go well. She says very sarcastically to Jerry's face
mm-hmm.
as Summer's recording all of the little things that he's doing or that Snuffles is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and she said that at their wedding day as well.
Exactly. And look how that's gone. And Beth, and yeah. then Beth leaves.
Swimmingly thus far. Apparently Snuffles is starting to gain speech, much like the monkeys in Planet of the Apes. And he does that whole thing, uh-huh. and they think he says, I love lasagna, and I love Obama. And, man, that aggravates the shit out of me when people do that in real life.
I try to assume what their dog is trying to tell them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have two dogs here, and my parents have dogs, and I understand mm-hmm. that you have a relationship with them. And you get mm-hmm. their mannerisms, and they pick up on yours, and that's how dogs have evolved to pick up on human mm-hmm. things. But yeah, it's just idiotic almost to try to figure out exactly what a dog is trying to say or do, because you have no idea what the hell's going on up there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. But they think it's cute. They want to post it online and all that.
Call Bob Saget.
And call Bob Saget. Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Which it is. Now it's hosted by the guy who played Carlton on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Really? Alfonso Ribeiro?
Yeah, he's the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, and the show is still on.
That's got to be like 30 years old now, or at least something yeah. like that. Holy crap, I didn't realize it was even still on, because I knew that Tom Bergeron was doing it for a while, because that's who you'd call now, yeah. I would think, is right. Tom Bergeron, because you call Tom Bergeron for kind of everything, game shows, yeah. whatever it might be. But cool, nice to know that I can call Carlton and play him. It's not unusual while I request a dog video get posted.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to know. Mm-hmm. Nice to know.
Right. Like, so if anybody's ever playing T-ball with their child and the, you know, the ball or the bat hits them in the nuts, just dial up Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And you too could win $10,000, which probably doesn't mean anything nowadays like it did back in 1987.
No, that's chump change.
Right.
But Snuffles, disappointed in the fact that they can't understand him, kind of walks away, and they all walk away mm-hmm. to go call Bob Saget or post videos online, and notices that in the window, as he's staring out there contemplating his life now, his new sentient life, notices that there's a small door on the front of the helmet. Opens it up, and there's yeah. only one battery in a slot of what looks like six. It figures out, well, now that he's sentient, maybe if I add more batteries, I can do more stuff. And we
natural.
Yeah, just a natural. Yeah, exactly. If I see more batteries need to go into something, damn right, I'm going to plug in more batteries.
It seems like a glaring oversight by Rick. So maybe there is some credence to you mentioned that he might have already had this machine built in the garage and it just needed a few modifications.
Right.
Right, because that seems like a glaring oversight.
Yeah, but or it's a purposeful undersight. Only because mm-hmm. he didn't want to be too smart before the time he got back, because Rick kind of already knew what was going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
He was he had enough forethought, I'm going to say, but maybe he didn't have enough forethought that he should have probably screwed that shut or something. But
right, like one of those weird little screws, like on children's toys, mm-hmm. where the screw won't come out, but it's bigger than an eyeglasses screw, but like smaller than a normal size Phillips screwdriver.
Yeah, so it's
like one
stupidly ridiculous to try to get moving and try to get in and out.
Right. And easy to strip. So you totally fuck yourself over if you turn it too many times.
You get to basically should've replace the batteries twice before you break the entire thing.
We're back in Oldenfold's dream, and Rick uses Mrs. Pancakes as a human shield.
Yeah, it's pure freak-out mode on the plane right now. Everyone's flipping out. Hippie guy is flipping out. That doesn't have a name.
The Rainbow Suspender guy?
Yes. He, it turns out, doing a little research, I guess it's supposed to be like a cross person between shows that Justin Roiland's on and some of his friends had. And he was supposed to appear in other episodes, and the guy was supposed to appear on their shows, but their shows ended up getting canceled, so it couldn't really show up as a recurring character or a cross-universe character.
Gravity Falls, right? I believe it's Gravity Falls, yeah. Oldenfold has a... Well, they all get sucked out of the plane.
Yes, hippie
Rick,
guy...
Rick and Morty are
hippie guy opens the plane door, and everything starts flying out of there.
Rick and Morty are hitching a ride with Mrs. Pancakes, who has a parachute. With Mrs. Pancakes, who has a parachute. But Mr. Oldenfold's already on the ground. He built, like, this big, elaborate invention to pluck just her out of the air while the other two, like, fall to their death in, like, acid.
Yeah, so quick thinking on Goldenfold's part, by the way, to if he was thrown out of the plane to make himself get to the ground and then hurry up and construct this acid pool claw device. Specifically to pick Rick and Morty out and dissolve them. So good.
Well, that's why he makes the big money as a high school math teacher.
Exactly. He's a lot smarter than Rick took him for. So
the main thing I notice about this scene is when they go to incept Mrs. Pancakes, Rick pulls out like one of them floppy.
It's called a black
battery.
It's called a blackjack. Because I noted that too.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I noted that too. Just to say that's like a standard. Like a standard thing that Rick carries around in his coat all the time. You know, like not just pens and pencils or notebooks or screwdrivers, but also weapons to knock people out.
I've seen that in so many cartoons and movies, and I had no idea. Is that just a weapon you can go buy, or is it literally you just put
It's
like a hockey puck in a sack or something?
Well, it's kind of like that. As far as I've ever seen them in real life, not that I own one or anything, because I don't, but I might get one. Now, it's basically
kinda,
like a
kind of want one.
Yeah,
right?
it's what I've seen them. It's basically like a big piece of leather, and at one end you put some type of weighted stuff in there, whether that's like lead BBs or something. So that way, you can still get that leverage when you're swinging it around, so it'll flop and do that. So it becomes a short range kind of bat almost.
That's awesome. I totally want one of those now. So great. So they incept into Miss Pancake's sexcapade dream.
Yes, the sex dungeon. Yeah.
I like how Rick uses it as an excuse to just kind of go with it. He wants to go with it under the guise of we don't want to arouse suspicion, but he's into it.
Yeah, because they have to take time to kind of feel out the area, because the whole point of incepting, as we found out, through the episode, and also if you've seen Inception, is that you need to convince the person it was their idea to do something. So just for Morty to go up and tell Mrs. Pancakes, hey, you need to let us go, or we need to do this, and you need to help us out with this, they have to convince that it's their idea, or someone else's idea to do that. So they buy themselves time by going into the sex dungeon, because everything runs at 1/100th time, we find out, too. So they're going to be slowly falling passed out here for the next few seconds in the airplane dream.
Well, because as stated, if that sounds confusing and stupid, then so is everybody's favorite movie.
Exactly.
I remember that, too. When that movie came out, everybody acted like that was the most ingenious movie, and nobody talks about it anymore.
Unless it's in a joking manner like this. Because I remember watching it. I didn't watch it in the theaters. I watched it when it came on HBO. And I sat there for the 3.5 hours or however stupid long it is and watched it. And I remember at the end of it just looking at the screen being like, what in the fuck just happened? Because there was – and I wasn't like doing something at the same time. I was concentrating on the movie and just trying to figure out the logic and the layers that they're building into it now, because they go like seven dreams deep or something like that at one point. It's one of those movies you have to watch probably a dozen times to really figure it out. Which I don't have that kind of time to watch a 3.5 hour movie 12 times.
Mm-hmm. Morty panics and kind of takes off and runs into a jailbait Summer.
Yeah. That is one sexy Summer, I will say. Jerk-worthy Summer.
It's kind of envelope pushing, right? Because it's portraying a high school student, presumably under the age of 18,
yeah,
as a very sexualized depiction.
Yeah, and well, I mean, they play it off as it just being something that a school teacher does, is have weird, perverse thoughts about their students, which we kind of hear about that here and there, you know, as students have sex with their teachers, or vice versa, however that happens. I wasn't lucky enough to do that. But, you know, I guess you can't say it doesn't happen. And obviously, Mr. Right. Goldenfold is one of those people who allows it to happen and just buries it very deep.
Maybe not allows it to happen in real life, but at the very least, it's open to the idea.
Yeah, allows it to happen in his head. Yeah, allows him to sexualize his students, even when he knows he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. I love Marty's focus on his sister's boobs,
even though
he's disgusted, and then Rick is all disgusted, and they're freaking out. Put your clothes on, because they basically ruined the party now. But that actually comes back later in a very
motorcycle guy. Thank you.
But that actually ties into something that happens later, really really subtly. So I'm just saying, for the time being, I love that he focused in on he was focusing in on her boobs, even though he was disgusted.
Yes. So she tries to go for that intergenerational sandwich between her grandfather and her brother, which
sounds delicious.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And then we get the centaur guard of the sex dungeon that shows up. Which, why a centaur? I don't know. I don't care. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a sensuous type, dude.
Ooh. Very nice, yeah. Very nice.
thank you. So they go one dream deeper, and in the centaur's dream, it's Scary Terry's world, right?
Yeah, so it's just basically kind of like an old weird factory that is a copyright infringement-free knockoff of an 80s horror character or 80s movie, horror movie, because that is pretty much exactly what the dream sequences in A Nightmare on Elm Street look like. Just as these this weird like factory setting that's all kind of dark and fiery.
Mm-hmm. If I can have a full confession here, I have never seen a Friday the 13th movie.
Well, good, because they're referencing A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, I have never seen Nightmare. let me rephrase that. I have never seen a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Never once. I know more about Nightmare on Elm Street from Will Smith's song Nightmare on My Street than I do from ever watching a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
The first one's pretty decent as far as 80 horrors movies kind of go. I think the second and third ones aren't ultra terrible, if I remember correctly. The first one's really good. You get to see Johnny Depp get murdered and just becomes like gallons and gallons and gallons of blood that shoot out of a bed.
Nice.
So, I mean, there's that. And then there's your gratuitous nudity and all that kind of other stuff, too. So
I don't think people understand. Growing up back then, Freddy Krueger was like Star Wars in a way. Because I've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
But I get the gist of it. I understand references to
it.
Like, I get what people are talking about and the overall basic plot. Having never seen one moment of Nightmare on Elm Street. It was crazy big back then.
Oh, yeah.
I remember kids and... You would never get away with this in a million years now because we're all a bunch of fucking pussies. But I remember in fifth grade, Halloween at school, there must have been half of the class dressed up, face looked like it was all disfigured and bloody, with a glove that had these fake ass plastic knives on it, running around elementary school And nowadays, that kid would probably be arrested for attempted murder.
Yeah. Or, yeah. But thoughts of attempted murder. No, it was huge. And I, for when it came out, I want to say it came out in like 1985 or 1987, if I'm remembering correctly. I was super young then, probably, you know, kindergarten, second grade, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And I totally had nightmares about it. Because my uncles were in high school at the time. I had two uncles that were in high school. And when we'd have to stay at my grandma's house with them, like just being watched or whatever, they would force us to watch all of these horror movies. Because that's what they were, that's what they were into, were horror movies. Mm-hmm. So they would would make us sit in the living room with them and watch these, whether we liked it or not. So it was traumatic almost. But yeah, you can't get away with that kind of crap right now in movies.
No. And just thinking about it, too, Friday the 13th was kind of that era, which is why I probably just accidentally mentioned it before. But Nightmare on Elm Street was to Star Wars what Friday the 13th was to Star Trek. Like, Friday the 13th was Nightmare on Elm Street's Star Trek. Because everybody also saw that, but it wasn't just quite as revered. Yeah. But it was so big.
But it was revered, or it was revered by a different type of person. Who had a different want of genre or whatever, but yeah, right. I totally agree. But this all the stuff that happens in the dream sequence with the little girl jumping rope and the song that she sings, and the fact that he has tiny swords on his hand instead of knives, are all of that is pretty much directly taken. Even probably the testicles on the chin that Scary Terry has were mildly stripped from. Nightmare on Elm Street. A Nightmare on Elm Street.
In fact, one thing I did notice, like I said, never seen Nightmare on Elm Street, but I know the whole one, two, better buckle your shoe. Right,
but Freddy's coming for you.
Is that what it is? One, two, Freddy's coming for you? But in this, it's the same melody, but to the ABCs.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I stopped paying attention because I was looking more in the background for stuff. But I just noted that, it's the exact same schoolyard thing that's sung by a creepy little girl.
Mm-hmm. But instead of, like, one, two, it's A, B, something, something, that rhymes with B. Like, and I thought that was simultaneously a really lame parody and a really awesome parody at the same time.
An acceptable knockoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess that's true. We're finally back at the Smith house. Snuffles has evolved speech and built a robot hand somehow. How did he build a hand without a hand himself?
You know what? Those are just kind of the mysteries that are up to the super intelligent people. You know, I don't think it needs explanation, Brian. I just think we need to take it for what it's worth, that he turned himself into a scorpion almost.
right, he does.
Yeah. But now he can also talk. Too, you know, and make conversation now, because he needs, he wants to be understood. He needs to be understood by his human superiors.
Jerry had a good call though. He was going to put an end to the whole thing, and Summer actually stopped Jerry from preventing the whole dogs take over the world thing. That was all Summer's fault.
Yeah, as things seem to turn out too, as we move on with the series, she's trying to be wholesome or liberal in her thoughts, if you want to call it that in nowadays terms, to say that you can't, you know, just give like sentience to a being like that and then just instantly take it away without there being other consequences. But she didn't have the forethought to think about the consequences of allowing something like that stay that way, especially given it's the same day. You know, so this has only been hours that it took for him to go into Rick's garage, figure out how Rick's garage works, and then build a scorpion tail with a hand on it.
I rather enjoyed that she explained that you couldn't give sentience and take it away because it's Indian giving, which is a term not used enough nowadays because, once again, we've all become pussies. I'm surprised a lot more people didn't complain about the use of Indian giving in that context. There's totally a negative connotation to that.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely not a PC term to be used anymore. Right. but it still floats in culture, and people still knows what it means or knows what it means. So
it's like right now I'm sitting Indian style, but my daughter has only grown up known it as crisscross applesauce. Isn't that
weird? Is weird. Yeah, it's she always goes, been Indian style, up, as far as I've ever.
She came up to me 2 years ago when she started preschool, because I sit Indian style to this day a lot. And she's like, "Oh, you're sitting crisscross applesauce," and I'm like, "I'm sitting on your applesauce." I thought like I sat on one of her applesauce pouches.
Yeah,
no, it's no longer Indian style; it's crisscross applesauce.
Well, sad.
It is. It is sad. Stuffles is watching the documentary on humans, enslavement, and breeding of dogs. But where it seems to me he gets really pissed off is Air Bud. Seems to really insult
him. As he should, because that is a terrible franchise of movies. there's like 12 of them.
There's like Air... Right, and now there's like Air Buddies.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole... Disney, I think, is who made that. Just made like a crap load of those. Off of the one that was even just like half-assed popular. I don't even remember it being like anything like a deal, but whatever.
Yeah, it's yeah. So I guess what I guess where we could leave this scene is I think we're both in agreement. Fuck Air Bud.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, Air this Bud. Scene. That's I think that's what they're the writers were trying to get across to
is fuck Air
yeah,
Bud.
Yeah. Fuck Air Bud.
Back to Scary Terry. The little girl singing the alphabet instead of the numbers, the creepy little girl. They escape into her dreams.
Yeah. Cause,
just to return back to her dream.
Yeah, so they think they're in an infinite loop of dreams now and are just totally screwed.
So she's living, so then, just thinking about it, she's living her nightmare.
Deep, bro.
Right, because they incept her dream, right, because if they incept her dream and then her dream is of her reality... She's living her nightmare, bro.
Yeah, like all day, every day, where she's living is hell. A furnace-y factory hell.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot like when you go through the magic doors on Super Mario Brothers 2. Because that whole game was a dream.
Right.
And now you're like in a dreamland within the dreamland. So it's a lot like that.
Yeah, so.
Everything goes back to Mario 2.
It has for years.
Mm-hmm. It's indisputable, really. Yeah.
And really? They also find out, too, that Scary Terry has the same power as Freddy Krueger and can travel between dream worlds, which is where they also get freaked the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's when shit gets real, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
they can't escape. They have nowhere. They can run, but they can't hide.
Exactly.
Right?
They can run, but they can't hide, bitch.
Yep. By the way, does Freddy Krueger use the word bitch a lot?
He doesn't use the word bitch once, I don't think. I mean, he might here and there, but you know, I think they just wanted to give Scary Terry a super fun catchphrase to have.
Right, bitch.
Like, yes.
Like everything is bitch. Mm-hmm. Everything is bitch. Which would make a good t-shirt, by the way.
Everything is bitch.
I guarantee you could probably sell at least 50 t-shirts to say everything.
Even a Welcome to Your Nightmare, Bitch t-shirt, I think, would sell, which is available at the Aplombus Among Us store that we don't have and I just made up. But maybe we'll start doing that. Who knows?
Maybe. Back to Summer's room. It's a stormy night. Snuffles wakes her from her slumber, wanting to know where his testicles are.
Yep, and now he's built an entire... Android mech suit for himself, also within the span of just a few hours.
It's pretty goddamn impressive.
It is.
It's pretty goddamn impressive.
So good for him, you know, good for him to be able to figure all that kind of stuff out.
Right. What, how many batteries do you think he's up to at that point?
He's probably up to like a 12D battery, like an old school boombox you'd have to carry around on your shoulder.
Yeah. The good old days. The good old days. Do you remember Pocket Rockers? Were you around for Pocket Rockers? You're only a couple years younger than me. Do you remember Pocket Rockers?
I do not remember Pocket Rockers.
They were basically like a mini 8-track that only had one song on it. and you could carry it around and you rewound it with like a little handle. Pocket Rockers. Look it up. That's some nostalgia for everybody listening that's younger than me, which is probably approximately 70% of people listening to this. Doesn't want to be called Snuffles. That's his slave name.
Yeah. Kunta Kinte style.
Wants to Mm-hmm. It wants to be called the more apt Snowball.
Uh-huh.
Because his fur is white, like snow.
Yeah, it's pretty and white. Mm-hmm. So he's more self-aware, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just proof. Yeah. Just proof of his awareness.
Mm-hmm.
There's an intense line of questioning about the testicles. Where they've gone, why they were gone, etc., etc. Summer starts to freak out and say that this is weird. Oh, crap. And go ahead.
Great little animation detail there is Summer's head shake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When Jerry and Beth actually enter the room and ask if everything's okay, it's very subtle, but she shakes her head. But the main focus is on Snowball.
Right.
So she's kind of off to stage left. But I always find myself watching like little details like that. I love how instead of her just staring at the at her parents entering the room, you know, she shakes her head. There's a bunch of neat little details that a lot of cartoons and animation studios wouldn't even bother with in this show.
Right. So yeah, she's trying to communicate that not everything is right to Jerry and Beth when they show up, and they off the cuff come up with a. They're just going on a famous midnight walk that they do as a family all the time that you'd think that Snuffles would probably know about,
right.
You know, since he is part of the family. Poor lie on their part for what's going on. Summer gets out of bed so they could just leave, and another dog shows up in another mech suit. So now we find out that Snowball has recruited an army now.
Yeah, at the very least, learn to use the internet, right?
Yeah.
like, how did he get... So amazing. How did he get other dogs to check any communication device so they could rally around the troops?
I like to think he just took his mech suit and went door to door.
Mm.
You know, knocking on doors.
In a few hours.
Knocking on doors just to see, you know, if a dog barked and then would, you know, communicate with that dog. Follow me. I have a new life. Come with me if you want to live.
It's very much like Jehovah Witnesses.
Right, only with mech suits.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
And a dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they will walk when he says it's time to walk.
Yep.
Snuffles taking charge. Snuffles taking charge. Back to Scary Terry. I like the background. There's a Scary Street sign.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they're not on Elm Street. They're on Scary Street.
Well, naturally.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen this. I've never seen this episode live on live TV, so I'm only assuming this is when it comes back from commercial.
Yeah,
because every time a show comes back from commercial, they always kind of back up 10 seconds to put the scene in context for people that just saw like Ritz Crackers and other and like Farmers R Us,
right? As opposed to
Farmers Only
.com. Just having it. I believe you are correct that the. Them going on their walk only when Snowball says that they can go on their walk is the act break or the commercial break. I think you're correct. Mm-hmm. So they're running down the street now, down Scary Street. They're in a car, and Rick basically re-says the whole plot of the show.
Right, but to
catch everyone
as if
up.
He forgot what's going on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So hilarious little side in there. For that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Scary Terry, Scary Terry, given him the classic warning, you can run, but you can't hide.
Yep. So
and then
they out and run. Because
right. And then they realize that's terrible advice. Why would they listen to him?
Yeah. So they decide, in kind of an offhanded manner, Morty, I believe, comes up with it. Well, you know, if he says you can run but you can't hide, why can't we just hide? Why would we take advice from him? Because he's trying to murder us.
That was kind of a nice note, right? Like, Rick actually seemed, like, genuinely fond at that moment of Morty because he says it's nice to be on the same page.
After 6 hours of sitting in an abandoned house. But, yeah, it worked. It worked. And that's what you showed earlier or said earlier about Morty kind of being the idiot companion that has to be there because he's not that much of an idiot as we roll on. He does have correct thoughts every once in a while, things that Rick's not thinking of. So they're building their teamwork, their team dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Back at the Smith house, the dogs have now upgraded to manufacturing weapons and mech suits.
Again.
And they have a whole...
Only in a few hours.
Mm-hmm. A whole production line going. And Jerry refuses to call Snuffle Snowball.
Yeah.
Not cool.
No.
Not cool, Jerry.
No, not cool, Jerry. You know, as they're all trapped in the cage, mm-hmm. I think is nice to mention.
A kennel, right?
Yeah, it's a cage kennel. That's mm-hmm. a box type thing, yeah. So they're all hanging out in there, Jerry, Beth, Summer. Summer's laying on her back, just as she was before on the couch, and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. That just seems kind of the teenage way to lay as it for this show.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Scraps comes over because Snowball believes that Jerry's getting aggressive because he won't call him Snowball.
Yep. And, very aggressive,
yes,
Jerry.
And Dr. Scraps pulls out a pair of scissors to see or to note that Jerry might need to have some surgery here coming up soon. And Jerry correctly wonders how he's going to be controlled via haircut.
Well, Jerry is a middle-aged man, and he hasn't gone bald yet, and it doesn't seem like he has a bald spot. So,
yeah, off those personal fears. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally what the dogs were going for.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have thought that they would have threatened to like neuter him or something. I still,
right,
I
yeah.
don't understand why they went with the haircut. Back to Scary Terry's house. Scary Terry upset Scary Brandon by bringing his bad day at work back home. Poor Scary Brandon.
Yeah, well, poor Scary family. You know, like it's been a tough mm-hmm. day for Scary Terry, losing his prey for the night mm-hmm. Because they did hide. Right. You know, and he's just kind of all tuckered out now and mm-hmm. comes home. But Scary Melissa makes sure to mention, you mm-hmm. know, remind him don't bring work home with you. You know, not mm-hmm. not in the house. You know, and.
I guess I'd like to know who his employer is. What company does a scary world have that they employ folks just to murder dreamers?
I think that's an interesting question, and I would like to know mm-hmm. that. So, viewers, if you know the name of the company that Scary Terry works for that we couldn't find, please let us know via tweet or email, because that just would be probably hilarious. So.
You know what I'm actually thinking now? It'd be awesome if it was just a darker, scarier version of Monsters, Inc. Because Monsters, Inc., they're jumping out of closets at night to collect a scream for energy to power their world.
Right.
Right. So, like, every successful conglomerate corporation has their edgier, smaller competitor.
Yeah.
Right? Like... McDonald's has Burger King, you know, and Taco Bell. They try to be a little bit more cooler and hip. You know, when you uh-huh. and I were growing up, and probably actually a lot of people watching this show, remember when it was like Nintendo versus Sega?
Absolutely.
And Nintendo was just absolutely massive, but Sega was trying to be the smaller, you know, crazier guy because Genesis does what Nintendo don't. And it was like,
right. And,
you know,
and
like
they got Sonic the Hedgehog, the punk guy who can right. run real fast. And yeah.
Oh, he's so good at wisecracking.
Oh.
So good at wisecracking, yeah.
Such.
Yeah.
Such a tart.
Right. So I like to think that Scary Terry's company is probably just a more aggressive, like, darker competitor to Monster Inc.'s energy collecting
okay.
company.
Yeah. That makes sense. I like that.
That's my theory.
So,
That's my theory.
They get home and they're now watching through the windows, basically waiting for a Scary Terry to have some post-coital sleep after a
scary fucking.
Yeah, after some probably real scary fucking that's going on between he and
what do you
scary
think
Melissa.
Scary fucking for scary? I would think that scary fucking for the scary family would probably just be missionary. Like that would probably be
the scariest. You've got. Now, what are we talking about? 6 set of balls slapping around mm-hmm. everywhere? If you include chins and mm-hmm. things? I mean, it probably gets painful.
It probably sends... what's that thing like on a desk where you pull the ball back and then it clacks and the energy goes through and
yeah.
the cradle?
Yeah. A Newton's cradle.
I would just... Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah, I'd assume... I'd assume it'd be a lot like that.
Well, if anything, then that's like a sex metronome for them.
Mm-hmm. A sex metronome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Scary Terry has fears of his own. Apparently, he has the classic no pants at school dream.
Yeah. Yeah. When they are, they're preparing for the worst before they incept Scary Terry. And it turns out it's just, yeah, that regular old traditional dream of going to school with no pants on, bitch, mm-hmm. and being late to class, bitch.
And he's bullied by the teacher.
Yeah, because
he can't come up with a good catchphrase.
Yeah,
right?
For when you're chasing someone through a pumpkin patch.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to think about that. Well, I mean, not trying. That's a lie. I wrote it down as something to just mention, but I'd also like to hear some people, some catchphrases for a pumpkin patch thing. Because all the things that came to my mind were just things about Charlie Brown, for mm-hmm. whatever reason. And I don't know if they have mm-hmm. Charlie Brown in a scary world like that. Mm. No, even if you are three mm-hmm. or four levels deep.
That's a good point.
But then Rick and Morty, being the classic heroes they are, stand up to the teacher on behalf of kid Scary Terry and tell him, you know, totally not to trip dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how they actually call Scary Terry dog four times.
Yeah.
They're just trying to be cool with him.
Yeah. Cool. Scary T, don't even trip about your pants, dog. Yeah, they instantly become stereotypes of what TV producers believe high schoolers think are cool.
Right. This is like a very special, like, remember they used to have really like a very special episode of Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
And then Jesse got addicted to pain pills.
Caffeine pills. It was caffeine pills. It wasn't even like something cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even like Vicodin or like Angel Dust or anything that could have came at Bill. But yeah, it was Kathy. She was so scared.
And excited.
She was so scared.
She was so excited and then so scared. So scared.
So scared. And then she became a stripper on Showgirls.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yep. So it all worked out in the end for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Scary Terry's "aw, bitch" is probably one of the best delivered lines in the entire series.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of heart behind it. You know, he truly mm-hmm. did care and was thankful for them mm-hmm. not only standing up for him, but bringing him pants so he didn't have to be embarrassed in front of everybody.
Right.
You know, and in that vein, decided that, you know, if you guys need anything, I'm gonna help you out because you helped me out so much. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, you can, and here's how. And then we get a montage sequence now of reverse inceptions. Of everyone coming out of it, which I'm going to bring up. I have a problem with with this part here, because everyone that they come out of the dream for, they also murder, and they murder them with the exception of the little girl, because they come out of the little girl's dream first, because mm-hmm. they were in Scary Terry's world. You know, they double incepted the girl. They incepted the girl once. You know, they kill her, so that's fine. But then they get to the sensual tar. That's there, and they mm-hmm. murder him first before they unincept him. But if you die in a dream, as was pointed out earlier, then you die in the actual reality. So does that automatically take you out of the dream? Because the centaur is also there, I believe, in the sex dungeon. And they also cut Mrs. Yeah. Pancake's head off, and she's there in the plain dream, Mr. Goldenfold's dream. So I'm just pointing out a possible flaw in the logic of the story, this very scientifically minded story. Just throwing that out there.
Well, you know, again, if it's confusing and stupid, then so is everybody's favorite movie.
Exactly.
That's their ultimate out. They probably threw that in. They probably came up with that towards the end of the episode and threw that in at the beginning of the episode just so they have the ultimate out for anything that comes up in the episode.
Right. They could just always claim it's because Inception is stupid.
Rick and Morty return home to the family who has been enslaved by Snuffles.
Mm-hmm. And Rick totally calls what happens because he already knew it was going to happen. He just didn't know how long it would take, essentially. My assumption is that Rick thought that he'd be back a little bit sooner. They wouldn't have to be incepting for so long. Things have come to quite a heated area right now. And they get back and they see all the dogs walking around the house and their mech suits. And Rick already knows they're going to take over the world. So he's already 100% on that tip, yo.
Yep.
The family is tied up to chains out back, like a dog would. Summer notes that this is why she gets C's, because it doesn't pay to be intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
good excuse.
Exactly,
pretty solid excuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And then Rick and Morty unleash them and try to kind of figure out a way to. Well, Rick's plan is basically live in the world and just kind of deal with it. Jerry, in his, again, ultimate wisdom, remembers that when a dog pees on something, it now becomes theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes in and starts peeing on boxes of guns and whatever the hell else is laying around.
I gotta say, though, pretty solid logic.
Yeah. No, I can't fault it for that.
Logically, it's watertight.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that would... That would lead me to believe to be, or that would, 1, 2, 3. I would believe that would be true in a world of dog. If you just ran up and pissed on something, that would make it yours.
I know here when I pee in my backyard on stuff that the dogs like, that they get very upset. So,
I peed on a dog once.
That means it's now. I mean, it's totally your dog. I think he's now life indebted to you.
Yeah,
he or she.
We had a really old Chihuahua that would pee all over the house. And one day I put him in the bathtub and peed on him, and he did not pee in the house anymore.
Well, there you go. You've asserted now that you own him, and he is. You know, there's no more rebellions now because he's not going to be able to get that stink off. That's right. Human man piss stink.
Take that, you punk ass dog.
Yeah.
By the way, that is an actually 100% true story. That is 100% true. It was just off the record, but like, yeah. So we had a little dog, a little Chihuahua. He was like, he lived to be like 20-something years old.
Oh, wow.
But he was like 15 at the time because I inherited him with Kristen. And when we lived in Florida, and he would just pee everywhere, and I'd get so mad. And one time I just had enough of it, and I put him in the tub, and I peed on him, and he did not pee in the house for the rest of the time we had him.
Well, nice. Excellent forethought on your end, too, for being so angry to put it in the tub first for easy cleanup instead of just, honestly, having it be right there and just pee. Because I personally think that's funnier if you just go ahead and just pee on a dog. But whatever.
Like in the family room?
Yeah.
Krista was not amused. She's like, "You pissed on our dog?" I'm like, no. I peed on your dog.
Right.
Like, not my dog. I peed on your dog. See, that's like, I'm not very good at being passive aggressive, but I'm totally good at being active aggressive. So I totally, peed on the dog. If you come here for Nelly's birthday party, ask my wife about the time I peed on her dog.
I will absolutely remember to do that.
All right, back to where we were.
Snuffles notice, or sorry, Snowball. That's my slave names. It's my bad. I apologize. Snowball gets up.
Bringing up a lot of hard history.
Yeah, and I know. It's a hard change sometimes when it's ingrained to you when you're growing up, you know?
Set in your ways.
Yep.
You're set in your ways.
But Snowball gets up and rubs Jerry's face in the pee, just like Jerry rubbed Snuffles at that time, face in the pee when he peed on the carpet. And then basically has the family stand there as he talks to Morty and thanks Morty for being so kind to him and essentially makes Morty his dog. So reverse rolls it.
Nice.
Yeah, and has a bed there laid for him and everything and pets him.
Mm-hmm.
And Morty just goes along with it. No big deal. Next to his Doberman Morty. Pinscher guards that he has that have rocket launchers or something stupid like that.
Because now he's built ballistic arsenals.
Yeah. This escalated very quickly.
Yeah, once again, all within the span of a couple days.
Yes. No, a day. We're still in the same day. It's a day. Yeah, a day. Hours, actually. Okay. Hours.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
Hours. Mm, quite impressive.
Yeah.
So from here on, I'm actually missing like a last page of notes or something, so I'm assuming that some little blonde girl decided to turn it into a paper airplane or something.
Oh, yeah.
So if you just want to take the lead, and then I'll
Next, we cut to a montage scene of the dogs taking over the world. They're mm-hmm. marching on the Capitol, blowing up the Capitol. They're on a news show, and they take over the news anchor and give her a different name, I believe, is what they did. We see them dumping out a dumpster full of human testicles into mm-hmm. just a regular garbage receptacle. Because
a lot of testicles. In
lots of testicles. You know, and show mm-hmm. that they've now enslaved humans for what be months and have them just kind of do dog things, racing and other things that humans made dogs do.
How come nobody tried to weaponize or... How come nobody tried to, like... Hold on, what am I trying to say? One, two, three. How come nobody tried to motivate, like, the cats for rebellion?
You know, are you talking about like Rick kind of having an uprising on the back end, like giving them the technology? Because that would be the piece. They would have to have the mm-hmm. technology to be able to do that, which the
that's
cats, of course, dogs aren't going to give cats that same technology. I mean, that's a longstanding feud right. that will never go away.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, when you're living under an oppressive regime. It can be tough to... All right, yeah. So, like, the dogs basically created North Korea, but with puppies.
Yeah, and then actually did real things and took over the world instead of just, you know, being weirdos. So...
Right on.
Okay. So then we cut 6 months ahead of time, I believe, is what the time... we see a calendar flip, and Morty is in his human-sized dog bed with two human women. And it's just love.
Animation note.
Love and life.
Animation note. I love the giant smile on Morty's face. Mm-hmm. Again, that's one of those like early on model things
yep.
that you probably won't see like that kind of art again. It was just because it was so early on in the series before they wanted to finalize the final tone and look. But it's very like Peanuts-esque.
Yeah, the kind of squiggly shit-eating grin. That he's got on,
yes, sir.
Yeah, because he's been hanging out doing it right, thanks to Snowball mm-hmm. Trying to take care of his human nowadays. Mm-hmm. But Rick walks in and explains that you know they're done because what actually happened was sometime there Rick went ahead and incepted Snowball.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is like a good out to have in your back pocket that at some time off screen. If they wrote themselves into a corner that at any given time, Rick just could have done something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what happened.
Good ace in the hole.
Yep. So Rick is explaining what happened, all that about the background when he incepted him, and Morty shit his pants, and that they're actually in a dream, so they're in an incepted dream world, which is not only on the 1/100th scale, that of a normal inception, but because a dog's age is 1/7th out of a human, mm-hmm. they're actually 1/100th and 1/7th time going on. So really, it's only been a couple of days in actual world.
And that's where this episode lost me. Like, started bringing that kind of math into it. I was like, I need like a flow chart or something for somebody to explain this to me because I was trying to follow that. And although I've seen this episode several times. I just for some reason I can't wrap my head around it,
and that's fair. And I don't think that you were meant to necessarily wrap your head around it. They needed another out to show that
it's
really only been a couple of days. It's not really been 6 months to a year of dog domination of the entire world. Right. Robotic.
So then
dog.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Morty. So all this really happened, right?
Mm.
Or was this all a dream of Snuffles?
So
did the dogs really take over the world, or did Snuffles build the mech suit and dream all this?
So my
and then realize what
my understanding of what's been going on, and listeners, correct me if I'm wrong. is that so sometime after they're out of the cage and Morty becomes the dog to Snowball, mm-hmm. he becomes the subservient person. Sometime within the next few hours when Snowball goes to sleep, Rick incepts him somehow. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that they actually did go ahead and take over the world, because when we get to the a couple scenes later when they're all going to the portal, you know, really the only dog that we see that has a mech suit is Snowball.
Hmm.
And it's, everything's kind of normal. So things didn't get to escalate as much as they wanted to. They're all escalating in the dreams and wants of Snowball.
Gotcha. So he was still able to rally all the world's dogs so they could go to another dimension and form their own society. But they did not actually take over everything.
Right. That's my understanding of it, because the dogs that he's saving didn't have mech suits. Because he would have had to have an army to really take over what he took over.
Yeah, I guess that's true. A couple animation notes that I just remembered is when the knees of the mech suit can bend backwards like humans. So like when Snuffles sits on his throne, they bend backwards like humans so he can sit on his throne,
uh-huh.
you know, sit like a human. But the rest of the time, the knees bend forward like a dog's as it walks around. So it kind of walks like the walker from RoboCop 2.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
so it like it's like double hinged. That I've noticed.
Very nice.
In the episode. Also, why is Rick dressed in disguise as Dr. Scraps? So did they know that Rick's a human, or did he somehow fool the dogs with a really shitty dog disguise in the mech unit?
So
when Morty wakes up.
Well, before we get to that, because that's just a couple mm-hmm. seconds ahead, I just wanted to point mm-hmm. out that they went highbrow with explaining what was going on and made sure to note that Morty totally shit his pants at the time of inception. And it got everywhere. Some of it got in Rick's mouth because it got on the inception devices. It was just a mess. So the women he was with got up and left in disgust.
Yeah, even in his dream,
yeah.
or somebody's dream, the dream women were disgusted
yes.
by Morty.
Yes.
Rick is the biggest cock block of all time.
Yes. So then Rick has Morty take some pills with Morty's understanding that they're going to make something better. But what they're really doing is shutting down his kidneys because mm-hmm. Rick is now going to play off of that very much human stereotype of doing anything you can to medically treat your dog, you know, whether that even if that costs thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to mm-hmm. do that. We find out that, you know, this could bankrupt the society that they've built so far if he spends this much money helping try to cure Morty, because I assume they don't have the same type of medical things. It's just like a vet mm-hmm. has general knowledge of a dog but doesn't know necessarily everything about a breed. The same thing with the dogs. They don't know everything about a human. They just kind of know some generality things.
I do like Snowball refers to his treasurer as Bean Counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice.
Very subservient.
Nice touch.
I think the power mm-hmm. has gone to Snowball's head at this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we see that Rick has now shittily disguised himself as a dog and put himself in a mech suit to explain what's going on and kind of just oversee what's going on with Morty while Snuffles mm-hmm. decides that he's going to spend whatever it takes to cure his human and do that.
Did I miss motorcycle guy again? Did I miss something in the episode that might hint towards the dogs? Because the dogs seem to not even notice Rick throughout the majority of the episode. They interact with the family, but it seems like they never interact with Rick. So was he not on their radar to the point that a shitty disguise tricked them?
Were they
cool with him, and then like Snowball was like, hey, these other dogs will mess you up. You need a disguise. So they disguise him to look like one of their own.
I don't think it went like what I like to think is that Rick, just in his stealthy planning that he's had, because obviously he planned to incept Snowball and then mm-hmm. had this thing to, this whole plan to shut down Rick, Morty's kidneys so that way Snowball would treat him like a dog mm-hmm. and try to save him and do all that kind of stuff. I think Rick just stayed under the radar. while the family was still boisterous, and the humans in general were all boisterous, and they were the people to sit there and worry about. Mm. So
hid in plain sight.
Exactly, hide in plain sight. So turns out, you know, after Rick essentially convinces Snowball that they are doing the same thing to humans now that humans did to them as dogs, making him come up with his own solution. So, like, or believe that he came up with his own solution to everything. So that's when we get Snowball waking up, realizing this, gathering the troops, and they decide that they're going to go to just their own world. And Rick opens up a portal outside of an animal shelter, and they just start filing out everyone. And I do believe that there are his mech army that he had made in the previous day or two, whatever it actually turned out to be, that there's, you know, people there kind of acting as crowd control for the dogs to jump into the portal.
Right, right. Like ensuring a peaceful transition.
Yes, exactly.
Like when militaries gather to sign a treaty, there's the badasses there to make sure that nobody makes a sudden last minute move. That's kind of what's going on.
Yeah. So they have a heartfelt goodbye as Snowball explains to the family exactly what he came to the conclusion of, that Rick forced him to come to the conclusion of, and says, you know, thank you to Morty, and gives him a lick on the forehead, all sweet, and says goodbye. Before he jumps in the portal. And then, you know, Jerry gets emotional, you know, seeing such a sweet display happening. And notes that it's just like the end of Old Yeller. When Beth tries to comfort him, she just points out that Jerry's an idiot and is only putting it together because they all have dogs in him. And he actually doesn't know what happened at the end of Old Yeller.
Has anybody ever seen Old Yeller? That's one of those American things, I think, where everybody knows the story of Old Yeller. They pretty much know, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it in the past 70 fucking years. but really, the whole point of Old Yeller is a kid loves his dog, dog gets rabies, kid's dad shoots dog behind the barn.
Right, because the dog's going to die a horrible death otherwise, yeah.
Right, so it's like Marley and Me, except for the dad shoots the dog.
Yeah, it's a modern day Marley and Me, I guess, if you want to, or Marley and Me is a modern day Old Yeller, I guess, if you want to talk about it like that. Hold on, motorcycle gang.
Right, man, they're probably on their way to fight with the Hell Satans.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the Hell Satans out of Bakersfield.
They're rampant around here.
Mm-hmm. So.
Then we get a fun aside, because this is episode 2, so this is when the show is setting itself up, and as we mentioned before, there was supposed to be a crossover character to Justin Roiland's Friends series. Rick and Morty just start talking about, like, what a dog world would be like, and, you know, this would be cool, and it would be really cool in, like, a, you know, 15 to 30 minute show that's on a rogue network that would be willing to display it, because at that same time, this was almost meant to be a setup. This show, this episode, was meant to be a setup to a pitch that Justin Roiland had with Cartoon Network already in Adult Swim for a Dog World show.
Ah. Way meta.
Yeah. So it was very self-referential to what's actually going on, and obviously that show didn't get picked up. I think there's, like, animatics or some crap online if you really want to dig into it and try to find it.
Damn shame.
But yeah, and then episode ends. We get some credits.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wonderful episode. One last animation note that I forgot to mention. Remember I mentioned Morty, even though he was disgusted about super sexy underage Summer, but he was kind of fixated on her tits?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they reunite at the end of the episode, Summer actually hugs Morty, and his face gets stuck in her cleavage.
Yeah.
And he's disgusted by it, but with everything going on, you have to kind of watch it as it happens. But again, I just thought that was a great little detail that they threw into the animation.
Yeah. So
well, big fan of that kind of thing.
One last thing, I guess, if we want to talk post credits, which we missed on the first episode when we did 101, talking about post credit sequence, because every episode has a small post credit sequence that either ties it to the next episode or is just kind of a fun cleanup that they do. We go back into Scary Terry's Dream. So 4 or 5 layers now back in. However, how Rick got there, I don't know. But we're back in the classroom with a hippie teacher now teaching instead of the mean teacher, teaching scary class. And talking about how, you know, everything can just be cool. Everyone just needs to chill. As Rick and Scary Terry sit in the back of the room, adult Scary Terry, sit in the back of the room and smoke weed.
Yep. It's a story of our lives, mm-hmm. really. So great. What was the after episode scene of the first episode?
Oh crap, I can't even remember right now. I don't have that. Okay, cool. I don't have that up on my notes. Yeah, it doesn't matter because it shouldn't be attached to this episode that we're talking about.
That's absolutely right. Episode 102, really, really good episode. I feel like of all the episodes, though, I feel like it's super good, but for some reason, it's one that I end up watching the least.
And I have noticed that I see it replayed more often. Like, there's a handful of episodes mm-hmm. that they replay on Adult Swim a lot more often, and this just happens to be one of them that I kind of mm-hmm. just see on the sling show up every once in a while, which is fine, because like it's entertaining, and you know that it has a lot of good setup, and as far as how the feel of the whole show is going to go, if we're mm-hmm. being a very early episode. But yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know, I feel it's on all the time compared to other episodes that I enjoy more, including 103 as we're coming up to it here. Mm-hmm. I really like that one because it's another ridiculous parody with a lot of stupid detail in it that they pointed out.
Episode 3, Anatomy Park.
Yes. I guess it is worth pointing out, since we didn't do it when we mentioned the name of the episode earlier, Lawnmower Dog, that this whole thing has to do with the, I think, 1991 movie, Lawnmower Man. And I assume mm-hmm. that you have not seen that either?
I have not.
Okay.
I am the worst person to talk movies with because anybody who ever asks me, hey, have you seen this movie? They should just assume the answer is no.
And I did. Like, correctly.
Yes, absolutely correctly. But one thing I am definitely going to watch is episode 302 of Rick and Morty. You and I, we're going to watch it and we're going to do the whole, see, with our Better Call Saul podcast, we get advanced screenings of the show. That was not available for Rick and Morty, or at least to us. I'm sure people like IGN and all those people probably get them, but we don't. Although I'm going to keep trying, and if there's a season 4, I'm definitely going to try for a season 4.
Yeah, yeah.
But in an effort for Jeff and I to get this out as soon as possible, we're going to watch the show and take notes. And as the show credits roll, we'll probably turn on the microphones and we'll basically record our immediate thoughts.
Yeah, so hopefully that would be available next day. We can't pull a BCS and have it ready as the credits roll and uploaded, but we'll do our best this whole season to get those pieces done and up as soon as we can get them for everybody.
Absolutely. And those of you listening who do not hear us on It's All Good Man, the Better Call Saul podcast, we're really big on audience participation. And we, from time to time, manage to get cast members and crew members. So make sure to participate and send your Twitter questions and Facebook and all that good stuff, because there is a good chance that I might at some point get to ask somebody involved with the show the questions. And if we get enough of a response, we might even do a preview show, much like we do for Better Call Saul, where we'll take your online correspondence and we'll chat with it and basically do like a preview prediction show for 15 minutes just to kind of round out the week.
Yeah, and you know, Adult Swim is very good, especially with the hype going on with Rick and Morty in this new season, about throwing out little segments here, teasers throughout the week. So, you know, we'll get them, we'll review them, we'll talk about them, we'll talk about your interactions, your viewer responses. And thank you to everyone who went ahead and responded to us anyway, even though it's been quite a long time, over a month since we did the 101 episode. But we still were getting feedback about where you guys at, what you want. So thank you for at least letting us know that we had people who paid attention and kind of enjoyed it and wanted some more. So, yeah, very much thank you for that.
Yep, absolutely. So, with that, Jeff and I are signing off. Make sure to check out Nothing Important. Make sure to check out It's All Good Man. Make sure to download the TV Time app. Those people have been so awesome to us, and it's just fun overall. So, With that, thank you, Jeff. And one thing I wanted to point out is there was no discussion of Moon Men in this episode.
Would you shut the fuck up about Moon Men?
Awesome.